we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
The less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to Animal Voices, Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, January 5th, 2018. I am your host, Elise Jacobson, and I'm joined here in the studio today by my co-host, Sinead Sanders.
Hello.
And our control room operator, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
Welcome, everyone. It's a brand new year, and that means activists of all stripes are taking some time to think about our goals and resolutions for the coming year of advocacy efforts. In our first main segment today, coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll be discussing easy ways to be an advocate for animals in 2018. Our featured guest today is local Vancouver activist Roy Sassano, and we are very lucky to have him right here with us in the studio. Hi, Roy.
Hello, thank you.
In about half an hour, we'll be chatting with Roy about his work with Vancouver Chicken Save, Anonymous for the Voiceless, and various other animal advocacy groups, and gleaning helpful insights from him on effective activism, so stay tuned for that. But first, Allison, you had some thoughts for us about the holidays.
Yeah, how were your holidays? I know you were away, Elise. I was away on Vancouver Island. You were away in the States, spending time with family. And Sinead, you have a house full of family members, but you spent time with family too.
Yeah. We stayed, we were here at home in Vancouver for the holidays.
That's nice. And I heard it snowed here a lot. Mm-hmm. So I always think about how I can influence my family members with animal rights issues during a time that's supposed to be peaceful during the holidays, right? And I don't get to see them very often, so I always think, like, this is my one chance to make an influence, right? Because I only get one or two times a year when I go back. And so this year, I thought I'm going to show, I got my parents a DVD of Okja, the film that we reviewed earlier this year that was, it's been released on Netflix last June, and it's the highest viewed film, most popular film ever on Netflix to date. So yeah, and I reviewed it when it came, when it was played at the Vancouver International Film Festival. I think that was in September. And so I had seen it already, and it has been changing a lot of people's hearts and minds to actually making them go vegan, even though it's not an animal rights film per se, but it has animal rights messages in it. And it's an interesting film. Like, it's a film that I thought my parents, like, they would be interested in following the story. It's not a documentary. It's a dramatic film. And part of it was actually filmed here in Vancouver, and it's also filmed in Korea, and it's been made by a Korean filmmaker. So the message that comes with it is Okja is the giant super pig who we come to know and love in the film because he's the companion of a little girl, and she's trying to save him from being slaughtered because that's been like her companion for like 10 years, her whole life. And there are messages there that people can take away that I thought my parents could. So even though I'd seen it again, I watched it with them. I got them started on it. I wanted them to be committed to watching Okja the whole way through so that they would be, you know, when you're invested in a film, you want to see what happens and take it through the end, even though there's some, you know, it gets a bit complicated throughout it. And I was like, I was the narrator during it. I was explaining to them, and some of it was subtitles. So I was like giving them the extra explanations of like what's happening here in the film. And like, these are animal rights activists because the Animal Liberation Front has shown it. And I said, this is actually a real group that exists, and they, you know, they're rescuing animals. And and then during the film, I kept like saying, you know, like look at Okja's eyes, right? Like is that, it's just like a dog's eye, right? Like that, an eye is the window to the soul. And my parents eat meat, and but not a lot. And they're always kind of like on board with saying like, we don't need to eat meat. My mom even said that a few days before. She said, I don't want to eat animals anymore. Like, we don't need to. but she will never go through with actually like following through. So I kind of wanted to try to get her there. So by the end of the film, I had a little conversation with them. I was telling them all animals are Okja, right? I said, you wouldn't want to kill and eat Okja, right? Like, look how sweet she is. She's this big cuddly pig and we love her, right? Yeah. We've grown to love her during the film. And I said, so you're not going to eat Okja anymore, right? And I am trying to like lead my mom. And, right. and she's like, I don't want to eat animals anymore. I said, okay, then fine. You're committing to not eat animals anymore, right? And she's like, well, but your dad wants to. And he was right there. I'm like, you don't want to eat animals anymore, do you? And like, don't speak for him, right? Like, and he's like, well, just fish. And I thought, really? I think that's a huge step forward.
Yeah,
I said, how about just fish then? And like, no other, because that's a step, right? Mm-hmm. And then they even said, oh, even fish isn't very good to eat anymore with all the poisoning and everything. So like if they even like think it's attainable to take a step, that's a huge step. And I left there on when I left on the plane, I said, remember, no more eating animals. All animals are Okja. I just wanted to keep repeating that so that they had that message in their head. And then apparently they still remembered. My mom still remembered because my sister Skyped with her a few days ago and she said she brought it up. So
wow.
I'm thrilled. So anyways, I want to hear about your stories because I know that Elise, you have some good stories to tell as well. We all had vegan Christmas dinners, for
that's
one
true.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's cool. So tell us about your experience.
I was really lucky this year, I think, because, it was kind of funny. Most of my family lives in the Seattle area, so I typically go there for Christmas. But my sister lives in Anchorage, Alaska, and it just worked out this year that my mom and her partner and I flew up to Anchorage to hang out with my sister and my niece for Christmas. And my sister is an amazing cook. She went to culinary school and all that, so she prepared a beautiful Christmas dinner. And I wasn't quite sure what to expect when I got there, but I got there and she had prepared an entirely vegan Christmas dinner. Wow. And it was wonderful. Yeah, which
nice.
Is amazing. I have a 9-year-old niece, my sister's daughter, and I've been vegan almost her entire life, certainly as long as she would remember. And she's always known that, and she asked me a lot of questions. Even when she was little, she would ask me a lot of questions. And I think I'm very fortunate because my sister is not vegan, she's never asked me to sugarcoat the truth or hide the truth about animal exploitation from my niece. When she asked me questions, you know, my sister says, you can tell her the truth. You can tell her, you know, why you don't eat dairy and that sort of thing. And so, and I do it obviously in age appropriate ways. I don't say anything real graphic or horrible, but, I will tell her the truth when she asks me things. And apparently she's talks about it a lot even when I'm not around. She kind of is like, you know, milling it over a lot even though
she's a pregan.
Yeah, exactly. I really think so.
And that's the right age, 8 years old. That's the kind of age where people are, some children are starting to think about those
absolutely.
Ideas.
Absolutely. And I know, she lives in Alaska and, you know, my sister's a single mother. It's just the two of them. So I think it's like actually making that step at this point is probably a little bit, they're not quite there yet, but it's like definitely the seeds are being planted. And so, but yeah, so my niece was asking me a lot of questions even this time, you know, oh, can you eat this? Can you eat this? Is this vegan? She had a little cookbook that she had gotten for Christmas or something. She loves Star Wars. It was a Star Wars themed cookbook. And she was going through it with me page by page and asking, can we make this? Can you eat this? You know, how can we make
this
so vegan?
Cute.
Yeah, it was so cute. And she, wrote a letter to her best friend. She was talking about how much she missed her best friend in the Seattle area. And so we said, well, why don't we write her a letter? And she, my niece, completely of her own volition, wrote in the letter, my family's here, blah, blah, blah. And my auntie is a vegan. And so she, you know, she doesn't eat meat or dairy. But we had a vegan Christmas dinner. Here's what we had. She listed it all out and she said it was amazing. And so it was super cute. Yeah. But, I think it's just, you know, it's not something that I like push on her that I bring up all the time, but I do think kids have compassion for animals. She loves animals, as most children do, and they are thinking about this stuff. And so I think, you know, if you have kids in your life, there's always opportunities to kind of plant seeds and, you know, just build up their natural compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Sinead, I want to hear about how your holidays were.
Yeah, well, they were lovely. We, as I mentioned, we had a vegan dinner. My mom is vegan, so I'm lucky. She went vegan shortly after I did, about 10 years ago. So we always have Christmas dinner at her place, and she used to do sort of double things, like here's the mashed potatoes with butter, and here's the one was without. But then she sort of realized how silly that is.
Got tired of doing that.
Yeah, it's
a lot of work.
So she just makes it all vegan, and so she and I are the only vegans there, and then we've got three or four non-vegans, but they all enjoy the stuff, and it's all good stuff. It's I feel like I lucked out there for sure.
Aw, that's great. Yeah, so there are easy ways that we can sort of bring our animal advocacy and our vegan values to our families, right? And we've talked about that. And I think it's just really important to always keep that in mind, mm-hmm. because I think advocacy is part of being vegan, just because even by leading by example, mm-hmm. that's advocacy, but you can also take it a little extra, right?
Right.
Just like I did. And yeah. And because you kind of know what the boundaries are of your family members, right? Because mm-hmm. you know them so well and you know what will and won't work with them, right? So mm-hmm. anyways, great. Yeah. Ideas, and if our listeners have any ideas to share, post them on our Facebook page of mm-hmm. how maybe you had a successful Christmas this year.
Absolutely.
All right. Now for some news. International news this week. There was some good news out of China. As of December 31st, China's legal government-sanctioned ivory trade came to a close in accordance with a landmark 2015 announcement of the ivory trade ban. All of China's licensed ivory carving factories and retailers will be shuttered. So this is good news for elephants, because China is widely believed to be the world's largest consumer of ivory, mm-hmm. both legal and illegal. And China plays a major role in the yearly slaughter of some 30,000 African elephants by poachers. So that's the thing, though. That's legal and illegal. So we'll see. The legal trade is shut down now, but the illegal trade, it's still likely going to linger for some time. So, but with this ban, they're putting in place a bunch of education campaigns and stuff to really get the word out there to people. So, mm-hmm. so it's good stuff. Apparently, a lot of people in China, because of the word for ivory in Chinese, then it means elephant tooth.
Oh.
And so people are under the impression that they can just lose their teeth and you don't have to kill the elephant to take their ivory. And there was this poll done, and this massive amount of people were under the impression you don't actually have to kill elephants for ivory.
Wow.
So, and when they learned about the ban, they thought, oh, well, yeah, for sure then. So education is a huge thing there. It's but so that's some good news, and hopefully we'll make some difference for the elephants. And locally, or more locally, we had some sad news from Vancouver Island this week. Our friends at Rasta Sanctuary in Chemainus have reported that Theo has died. Mm. Theodore was a 3,000-pound steer who'd been with Rasta for the past 11 years. And he was discarded on a manure pile at a BC dairy farm because he was sick when he was born, and they just didn't think it was worth spending the money on helping him, so they just left him to die. Mm-hmm. But he was rescued by Rasta. He was with them for the past 11 years, and then he died suddenly on New Year's Day of bloat, which is apparently a very common cause of death in adult cattle. So it's really, really sad. And Lucy Cherney, who is the founder of Rasta, she's actually been dealing with some medical issues herself. So it's a really tough time over at Rasta right now. If you'd like to lend your support to them, you can make a donation at their website, rastarescue.org. And if you want to learn more about Theo and how he's touched people and educated visitors about cattle and the dairy industry, then visit their website, or visit our website, animalvoices.org, and look up our interview with Lucy from last spring. Just animalvoices.org and search Rasta. And mm-hmm. So rest in peace, Theodore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been having a tough time. I know Lucy's been in the hospital for a while, and they definitely need some help covering costs of running the sanctuary, because that is not cheap, taking care of all those.
And we have a post animals. On our Facebook page too, right? Animal mm-hmm. Voices Vancouver, if people want an easy way to get there to help them out.
Absolutely. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, thank you, Sinead. So moving on, we wanted to discuss some easy ways to get involved in activism this year. Again, it's a new year, 2018, and there's all sorts of ways that people can get involved in activism. I always say, you know, people tend to have a lot of people have a fairly narrow view of what activism is. You know, we tend to, when we think activism, we often think protests or, you know, big marches and whatever. And those are important. Those are definitely, you know, something that you can get involved with if you want to. But there's also lots of other ways that people can advocate for animals. So how about you, Allison? Do you have suggestions of easy ways in which you advocate for animals in everyday life?
I want to suggest an easy way that my sister, who's an armchair activist so far, that is, like, you can do such easy activism online and very effective as well. And I was just thinking that she's always listening to our show. She listens to the podcast, and she's going back and listening to all of the archives that have been, we have archives on our show for about the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. And so she goes back and she catches up and she listens to them all. And then she posts them online on her Facebook just to get it out there, because we actually have a lot of good material in our archives that mm-hmm. might seem like they're outdated because you kind of forget about them. But if you go to our website, animalvoices.org, you can type in, I think we've done a show like on every subject out there. And if we haven't, tell us and we'll do it. Right. And and anyways, you can listen to our past shows and you can promote them online, because I mean, it's not just for promoting us, but it's promoting the messages that we're sharing and all these amazing interviews that we've done. And not just us, even, like, I'm a big listener of all kinds of podcasts, and I'm always sending them to people. Whenever I listen to a podcast, I think, like, oh, this friend and this friend would really enjoy this podcast. I'm going to send it to them, because I really think it's important to support our local podcast or our fellow podcasters, because everyone, like all the people who are doing radio and podcasting on vegan and animal rights issues across the world, we all deserve to support each other. Like, we should all be supporting each other, and they deserve to be promoted. Mm-hmm. So that's one easy way.
Yeah.
I have other ideas too, but maybe someone else wants to go.
Well, just building on that, I think that, you know, obviously we live in an age now where everyone does everything on the internet. You know, people young and old all use social media and use the internet for various things. And so I think it can actually be an amazing tool for activism. You know, even just on social media, whatever you use, Facebook is kind of my social media of choice. And I frequently post animal rights themed posts. You can post about, you know, heartwarming stories about animals showing that they have feelings. You can post information about the cruelty that's done to them on, you know, animal farms. You can post about how intelligent they are. There's always new research coming out about, you know, various species and their capacity for thinking and feeling. And this kind of thing, I think, you know, people will see it and people will read it, whether they even comment in the immediacy or not. It does make them think, it does inform them, and it helps a lot. I've actually had a lot of people message me and tell me that they are going vegan or they're thinking of going vegan or whatever because of something I post on Facebook.
Sometimes I wonder, like, is anyone reading my posts? And then I'll post something really gratuitous, like just a photo of something like that doesn't really, it's just a pretty picture or something, and all these people like it. I'm like, didn't you see the other post that I wrote that actually have some meaning and value to them? However, I've mentioned this on the show before, I have had like random messages from Facebook friends, like who I haven't seen since high school, for example, saying, Allison, your posts have really affected me and I'm going towards veganism because of you. Right. The last one was, Allison, because of all those recipes you post, I've been making them and my family is eating more vegan now.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
You know what you can also do? It's the 10th anniversary of the film Earthlings this year, and it's posted on Vimeo. I posted it on my Facebook a couple days ago, and my friend Chris, who I've been asking to watch it for almost 2 years, he finally watched it that day.
Cool.
And if you want to see what he thought about it, go on my Facebook wall and check out his comments. You can do that too. Post Earthlings on your page and tell people to rise to the challenge to watch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one thing I love that I've seen you do, Elise, on your birthday. Then you post Earthlings and say, hey, you know, you want to do something for me for my birthday, watch this documentary, yeah. You know? I think that's a great idea because really, and that stuff and what you were saying, Allison, yeah. You know, you can get discouraged. You think, oh, I'm posting this stuff and nobody's reacting mm-hmm. to it or whatever. But people, people read it. It has an impact. So, you know, keep
yeah.
speaking.
When someone says like birthday present, as you said, or this week, I told my friend I wasn't feeling well. I'm sick. He's like, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, why, yes, you can watch Earthlings. And he said, okay, I'll watch it tomorrow night. And
nice.
He did.
Wow.
And I posted it online too and reminded him, and he actually watched
That's
it.
That's good.
Finally.
Yeah.
It just took me feeling sick.
Right.
And him offering, I'm like, yes, you can do something for
there
me.
There you go.
Yeah,
and
it's often the lurkers, right?
It's often mm-hmm. people who don't comment or
the lurkers?
Or yeah, right? It's like those are the people who are watching it and being affected by it. Often they won't comment, but mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that people aren't looking at it for sure.
Yeah, I think documentaries in general are a cool way to get involved with activism because you're watching a movie, it's interesting, you're learning stuff most of the time, even if you know something about it, you're learning something new, and then sharing that with people because it's a good format for sharing that kind of information.
Yeah And Sinead, I know you do stuff with leaflets and stuff when you're just out and about, right?
Yes, yeah, that's leaflets and stickers are my favorite.
Stickers are fun.
Yeah,
you can get
yeah.
them free.
Yes, yeah, get them free at different
PETA
animal events around town or off, yeah, animal organizations.
PETA will send them to
yeah,
you.
They'll send you stickers, or you can make your own stickers. Go just get some blank labels and write whatever you want on them.
Yeah.
I've done that before too, and really just as a person who's just, you know, I can get scattered, and when I'm talking to people, interacting with people face to face it's just sometimes not my favorite thing. So yeah, leaflets and stickers are great. Just I carry some around with me everywhere. If I'm sitting at a bus stop in a waiting room, or if I'm, as I was saying, if I'm postering for one of my music shows, you can just, you know, when you're out doing anything, you can stick leaflets in Georgia Straits and newspapers and anything and just get the information out there.
Yeah. So I've been inspired by our co-host, Jen, who does this all the time. When we're traveling, even, she brings leaflets with her. And last time we traveled and she's posting PETA stickers on like lampposts and putting leaflets and handing out, she hands out her business cards to like everyone on the street, basically.
Wow.
But anyways, so that inspired me. And I thought, you know, I've got so much stuff at home. I'm just going to like compile it. I put it in a folder and I thought, I'm just going to take this with me whenever I go out or when I go to the gym and my doctor's office is right there, and discreetly like put them in all the magazines because people are, just think of places where people are reading. Jen goes up to people who are like in job positions where they're just sitting there. And she goes, you look like you want something to listen to. Here, listen to our radio show.
Oh, nice.
Or you can give them a magazine or something. So I've got like magazines and stuff, and I just got back from my travels, so I forgot to bring my folder today just because I'm out today. You can just like hand out stuff everywhere. And she does plainivism, which is she sticks leaflets in plain magazines.
Oh,
and she put one, yeah, she put one in one about pigs in she put it as an insert once next to an ad that was about eating pigs.
Wow.
So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You can even do it at bookstores and libraries and that kind of thing. You know, go and stick leaflets in the magazines. Or
actually, grocery stores are, they have the flyers and stuff with all their sales and specials and everything. And if you just, over Christmas, you know, it's special on turkeys or whatever. And you just mm-hmm. stick in a leaflet with all this information about how awesome turkeys are when they're alive.
Right. And you can get turkey leaflets for free on the Liberation BC website. You can print them off. They have other brochures that you can print off for free as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want other ways to get brochures, just go on your local like vegan group. We have the Vancouver Vegans here, Vancouver Animal Advocates, and Vancouver Animal Activists on Facebook. And people will just go on there and say, like, who has leaflets? I can. And then someone always says, I have a bunch of leaflets you can have, because we want to share them. We don't care who they get out to, right? Like, it's all for activism and for outreach. Or you can go on Liberation BC's website, or you can get them from Vegan Outreach or PETA. PETA will send them for you. They have leaflets on everything. They'll send them to you for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liberation.
Start leafleting.
Yeah.
It's fun when you just like put them places. I did that too with the grocery store when I was in Hawaii. I put one with chicken and egg on it next to like these hard boiled eggs.
It feels really good because you're getting the information out there when you're mm-hmm. surrounded by all this stuff and this cruelty and stuff.
Empowering.
And you can feel powerless
because we're fighting
constantly everywhere.
The industry.
Yeah, these products everywhere. But then it's like, okay, you know, at least I'm putting some information out there, and hopefully somebody will respond positively to that and decide to make a change. So liberationbc.org is a great source for printing off leaflets.
For sure. Yeah, and I like that idea of, you know, asking in your local vegan Facebook groups. If you don't live in the Vancouver area, you know, most places in the world now have, you know, local vegan groups or animal activist groups, and you can always network with other activists in there and get resources, share resources. Yeah, and I think stuff like this is great, you know, for people who might be more introverted or shy. You know, not everybody feels comfortable necessarily getting out there and, you know, raising their voice. And so there's always other things that you can do that can plant seeds and share information about veganism.
Yeah, but for the people who are more outspoken or more comfortable in public places with strangers and stuff, there are also a ton of animal advocacy events that happen in Vancouver and all over, and we're going to hear about some more of those from Roy, I'm sure.
I want to say my sister is the biggest introvert ever, and she doesn't live here anymore, but when she comes to town, we go to whatever protests, right? And we went to this big DXC protest once, and we were like chanting, and she, after that, she said to me, that was like so satisfying. She said, because I got to speak my voice. Because it was in a group, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't intimidating. Because we are all out there in a big group. So I want to say, even like for people who are hesitant, like if you're one of many in a group, it's an easy way to get out there and feel like you're being useful. And that, as my sister said, you're getting your voice out, like you're getting it out. She has so much like pent up like energy that she wants to like get out there.
Right.
And she finally got to do it by chanting at a protest.
That's great. Yeah. There's power in numbers for sure.
Yeah. And there are just some really, really kind people in Vancouver I know of that go to these events and that will just make you feel really comfortable. And it's just, it feels good to get together with people and actually speak out for this stuff.
Tune in Thursday nights for Fruit Salad from 7 to 8 p.m.
Tune in to Fruit Salad. Tune in Thursday nights for Fruit Salad.
Checking. Can you hear me?
Check out Fruit Salad Thursday nights from 7 to 8 p.m., highlighting queer, trans, lesbian, gay organizations, writers, performers, musicians, families, pink world news, and much, much more. Fresh fruit.
Every show. Tune in and we'll out.
So I have some upcoming events to share, at least one. I'm hosting an event next week. I want to invite all of you three to it. So as you know, I'm one of the co-organizers of the Vancouver Meatless Meetup Group. We have thousands of people who are on this group in Vancouver to go out to vegan events, and we share food, and it's great to learn and to meet people and to learn about the vegan food that's offered in Vancouver. This dinner that I'm hosting has a set menu, and it's at the Cafe by Tao Organics in North Vancouver. It's one of my most favorite places to eat in Vancouver. Their food is amazing. This is happening on Friday, July the 12th. That's next week, and it starts at 6:45 p.m. You can look up the website. It's on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, or you can go to meetup.com/meatlessmeetup. That's MEATLESS meetup, and we have a set menu. It's all inclusive, $25. That includes tax and tip. If you want to see the menu there, please do that. And yeah, I hope you can make it. I haven't done one of these at Cafe Tao for 2 years now, so this is a rare opportunity to get out there, meet friendly people, and to enjoy some delicious food. And Sinead, you have some events too.
Yeah. There's also a meetup on Monday, January the 15th. There is the first Vancouver Vegan Drinks meetup of 2018. Start the year off right with some beers and tater tot poutine at the Black Lodge on Broadway. There's no cover or fees for vegan drinks meetups, just casual meeting up with people to enjoy food and drinks and connecting with people in the community. The Black Lodge is new location on Broadway is at 317 East Broadway, where the Heartwood used to be, and I haven't been there yet. I really want to go.
I went a couple weeks ago. Oh, yeah, yeah, it was pretty great.
I've heard good things. I've seen pictures. Yeah. It looks awesome in there. The Black Lodge being a Twin Peaks-themed, all-vegetarian, all-veganizable restaurant, yeah, diner. So, yeah. So you can find more information at Vancouver Vegan Drinks Meetup on Facebook. And there are also a couple of events at the Italian Cultural Center coming up. They're hosting two different vegan cooking workshops this month on Monday, January 15th. If you're not at the Black Lodge, then there is a vegan Italian baking 101 workshop.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, yeah. Learn how to make three different Italian pastries, vegan style. The workshop runs 6:30 to 9 p.m. Monday, January 15th. I believe tickets are $55. And then on Thursday, January the 18th, the Italian Cultural Center starts a three-part workshop on vegan cheese making with Karen McCarthy.
We had her on the show last year, I took her course, and it's so much fun. And she has a book out, and it was given an award last year for, like, the best cookbook in Canada or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I highly recommend doing that course. It's a lot of fun if you really want to learn about culturing and creating. Like, she does she makes cheese so intricately. Like, it's all about the science to her, and I learned so much about bacteria.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. She runs Blue Heron Creamery. So you can get those vegan cheeses around town at some places, and it's delicious. So,
and check out our interview with her at animalvoices.org. That's a fun interview.
Yeah.
All about cheese.
She's definitely
a vegan cheese legend.
Yeah, so again, that's in a couple weeks at the Italian Cultural Center at 3075 Slocan Street. And to register for these events or learn more about the workshops, you can visit italianculturalcenter.ca. If you have an animal-friendly event you'd like to have announced on the show, send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com or post to our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver.
Cool. Thank you, Sinead. So our featured guest today is Vancouver-based animal rights activist Roy Sassano, who we are fortunate enough to have joining us right here in the studio. Roy is an active member of multiple local advocacy groups, including Vancouver Chicken Save. Welcome to Animal Voices, Roy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
For sure. It's good to have you here. So first of all, just to start off, I'd love to hear a bit about your journey to veganism and to animal rights activism. Was there a specific sort of vegan awakening moment that you remember, or was it something that happened more gradually for you?
I definitely took a few steps. I went from being the guy who screams bacon at protesters or vegans and would just basically tell them how I felt or how I thought I felt.
Really?
About the issue.
You love bacon.
I would yell at people all the time. Yeah.
Wow.
But there's always a little glimmer of hope somewhere in me, I guess.
Yeah.
Apparently, I at some point just on my own, just as a result of what's on media, you know, it's probably like a bunch of PETA stuff.
Yeah.
That started to get to me, and I went social omnivore for a while. Eventually went vegetarian when I was out with friends, since I was a social omnivore and eating a burger. And
by social omnivore, you mean you were eating vegan at home, or you were like vegetarian?
Yeah, you were a closet vegan, you
right? Okay. Getting there, yeah, right. And I'm eating a burger, and that previously in the year, earlier in the year, my family cat had died, and it was her birthday that day. And here I am eating a burger, and I was thinking about her and eating this burger, and I was like, okay, I'm done with that.
Wow.
And over the next couple of years, a couple events I think happened. Once I got into a fight with my very meat eating friend, who said, "Roy, are you telling me that you won't pay someone to kill a cow, but you will pay someone to torture one?" He was referring to dairy.
Wow.
It surprised me to hear that from someone who, you know, would prefer that I just eat meat.
Yeah.
But he kind of, I think maybe that's what he's getting at. Instead, it had a little bit of the opposite effect on me. And I had a seasonal job at the time and met my friend Jeff in Edmonton, who was vegetarian one summer with me. And the next summer he said he's vegan. He said, "Are you going to go vegan?" I said, "Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, I don't want to pay for people to torture cows after all." Okay. And he said, "Hey, watch this," and handed me Earthlings, of course. And after 3 days of not wanting to live, I emerged vegan.
You emerge from the depths as a renewed person.
Exactly.
That's cool.
So that was me. As far as getting into activism, at the time I was living in Victoria. I was in the Navy at the time, and I'd met Kelly Carson, who does Deer Safe Victoria there, and we're doing some leafleting. And I think the big thing was meeting Corey Kilbisky through that same group, having some potlucks, and then she decided, hey, let's get some activism going because it hasn't been happening here. And we kind of started Island Animal Liberation with a group of people there who are still operating. They're doing lots of things, including supporting Anonymous for the Voiceless there and fighting the horse carriages with the Victoria Horse Alliance there, and kind of a separate entities, but that's kind of where it all started, I think, in the past few years with activism. So I started just doing things. Sometimes it was just the two of us leafleting at a grocery store using those Liberation BC turkey leaflets and everything, and it just built up from there. I went away after the Navy to join the other Navy, Neptune's Navy, with Sea Shepherd for a bit, which probably got me a little bit more... I guess into the idea of activism, just because once you do that, it's like, you know, going on the street doing street activism is a cakewalk after what we saw there, right? Exactly.
On the seas, right?
So I came back, moved to Vancouver, and I knew some people here, Megan Beattie in particular from Vancouver Chicken Save. So I just started doing that regularly, and that's where it all really got rolling for me in Vancouver, just showing up to people's events. And helping them as best as I could. And that's kind of been my role for a lot of things.
That's fantastic. I find that so encouraging in a way that, you know, that you started out as one of those people yelling bacon and, you know, harassing protesters.
Yeah, yeah.
And now here you are, because we've all encountered that at protests, right?
Yeah.
Those sort of obnoxious types, but there's hope, right?
They could
I wouldn't be the first person to say when that happens, you know, hey, that guy's just doing that because it's hurting his brain to see this. Right.
And, cognitive dissonance, right?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's awesome. And also that's so interesting that it was kind of Earthlings that did it for you. That's what did it for me too, going vegan. It's, you know, an amazing film. It affects so many people so deeply. So can you tell us about Vancouver Chicken Save? I just want to know what sort of work does the group do and why, and if you can tell us a little more about the Save movement more broadly too.
Great. So the Vancouver Chicken Save is a part of the Save movement, a global group, which is best known probably for the pig trial, Anita Crines on the pig trial in Toronto. I'm sure a lot of people have followed that, whether they're vegan animal rights activists or not.
And if you haven't, go to our website, animalvoices.org. We've had Anita on the show a couple times.
Yeah, and she was arrested for giving water to pigs on a slaughterhouse truck,
and
right?
And charges were dropped.
Right.
Was she not acquitted in court?
Yeah, acquitted.
Yeah.
She was acquitted,
exactly.
Yeah.
So the Save movement's... main type of event is attending a demonstration at a slaughterhouse, which within the Save movement is called a vigil, because you're supposed to be paying respect to the animals that are heading to slaughter. In Vancouver, at the Hallmark Slaughterhouse on Commercial and Hastings, right in the middle of the city, we have a unique opportunity to see a little bit of the operation kind of inside the slaughterhouse. We see there's an alley that's currently public property between the warehouse and slaughterhouse, where you can see chickens getting sent in crates across from the warehouse to the slaughterhouse to go to slaughter, and you can see a little bit inside the operation. The slaughterhouse has been erecting barriers over the past couple of years, so it's getting it harder and harder to see what's happening, but it does go to show that they know what they're doing is wrong, and they need to hide our what they're doing from our cameras.
I mean, last year there were charges that were laid, I think, by SPCA because of documentation that your group took, right?
Yes. What happened was at one point, who was that? Cornelia was there that day, I think.
And she's a photographer.
Yes, she's a photographer, and she caught a crate coming out from the power wash. With a live chicken still in it. So when they dumped the crates, you can see a footage of this. We got some pretty good footage of this a few weeks ago, of the crates being dumped onto the slaughter line. The crates are then supposed to be empty, so someone should be checking them. It goes through a power washer and then gets the empty crate gets sent back to the warehouse. So she saw a chicken still alive in there and took a picture. And the SPCA investigated, didn't find out what exactly the result of that was. And interestingly enough, a couple of months ago, we saw it again. Within like a 1 minute span, we saw two chickens get dropped probably like 3-4 meters from a crate on their way into the slaughterhouse. And then a second later, I turned around, there's another chicken coming out of the slaughterhouse through the power wash. Now that was a holiday. That was on Remembrance Day, actually. Mm-hmm. Now that I remember, the SPCA cruelty line wasn't open, so we called the Vancouver Police Department. We thought they'd be happy to come and at least, you know, take a statement, but they were not happy to do that. They didn't want to do that.
Aren't they obliged to do something about that?
They told us to wait for the SPCA. It was really disappointing because we'd seen them quite frequently over the summer because the slaughterhouse called them to, you know, deal with us even when we were doing, you know, pretty much nothing, and definitely nothing illegal at all. But the police had come talk to us anyway to negotiate something that I don't even know what they were doing, really.
Wow.
But they didn't come in. The SPCA has it on file. And the only evidence that we couldn't get a statement from them, but the only evidence we have that anything happened is that the slaughterhouse operation seems to be much more careful and a little bit slower to prevent those types of incidents from happening. Mm-hmm. I hope that either through our actions or the threat of some action or the SPCA talking to them that they had maybe decided that they can treat the animals just a little bit better.
But despite that, there are still atrocities happening in that slaughterhouse that are legal.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, it's very frustrating because, you know, when in the SAVE movement, you're doing two things. We're out on the street just kind of holding signs, letting people know this is a slaughterhouse. But on the other hand, we're trying to document things, things that people need to see that are legal, that are, you know, standard practice.
And I hope it will make people question.
Absolutely.
Right?
And especially when if you can catch something that's actually illegal, that's even worse than what's normal, then you hope that you can make the industry accountable for that too.
I hope people will understand that just because something is legal, it doesn't mean that it's right or it should be happening.
Absolutely.
Legal doesn't mean anything in our world, in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. Legally, animals are property, so legally they can just do all sorts of stuff to those birds.
And legally, birds, chickens have less rights than any other farmed animals as well.
Yeah, farmed animals often are exempt from animal cruelty laws too, right? There are loopholes. Certain animal cruelty laws, that you can do things to farm animals that you would not be able to legally do to cats or dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Pivoting a little bit. So Anonymous for the Voiceless is another worldwide organization that's become active in Vancouver over the past year or so, as far as I understand. And I hear that you've participated in several of their events as well. So what has that been like?
Yes. Anonymous for the Voiceless of Vancouver is kind of an interesting situation. I think they started a couple of years ago. Elena, the woman running it, was doing that around the same time that Jeff started doing his TV outreach for animals, which is a lot of similar ideas, but he was using these big screens. Mm-hmm. Often they're mounted just on a dolly, or sometimes he'd have people with him to hold them. You might remember that the term Earthlings Experience was coined years back.
Yeah.
Kind of the same idea as Anonymous for the Voiceless events.
Can you fill in our listeners on exactly what this is? Like, what do people do at these events?
So the first time I encountered this was called Earthlings Experience, where people would be carrying laptops and tablets showing footage generally from Earthlings. They'd be wearing masks to kind of draw the attention more to the screen and less to the people, and also to make it look a little bit theatric, I'm sure, to get people interested in what this demonstration is. People would just be out in the street and would be encountering these groups doing Earthlings Experience, would be compelled to look at the images on screen, and there'd be outreachers, of course, to talk to them about what they're seeing and maybe answer some questions in hopes that they will start reducing the number of animal products they consume in their lives. With Anonymous for the Voiceless, they took a similar idea. They called their events the Cube of Truth. Kind of a funny name, but I think what they're getting at is that the people with the screens were arranged in a square-ish thing, which I guess is a cube in some way, and they're showing the truth of animal agriculture. Mm-hmm. So that really took off. I think maybe it was that name that I kind of snicker at personally, but
I like it. It's catchy.
Yeah, it is catchy, right?
It's
exactly. It is very catchy. Even the name Anonymous for the Voiceless, I think it's kind of catchy and maybe hold some power with that, just on the coattails of Anonymous doing all this other stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's they wear like Guy Fawkes masks, yep. Right? So yeah. Like Anonymous.
Yeah. So they'll be, you know, basically the same idea with the screens. And so we were doing that a little bit. At the same time, Jeff was doing TV outreach for the animals. And then, of course, it was almost natural that it would combine into one thing. When Elena left town back home to, well, traveling all over Europe now, Jeffrey Year, the former undercover investigator, big star around town in animal activism, he continued to do the events, although he didn't really do it under the Anonymous for the Voiceless brand. He wanted a little more flexibility with what we can do without having to check in on the rules and what exactly he's allowed to do. That went on for a bit, semi-frequently, but then another new activist came back into town, Kirsten, and took over Anonymous for the Voiceless officially. Of course, Jeff brought in, and that's been very regular. The largest event was just late in the year, the last 3 days of the year. We actually, what Jeff did was he figured out that if you go to the Broadway City Hall SkyTrain station, there's a big wall. You can put up a screen there, put a projector there, and instead of having this cube of truth, we had this wall of truth.
He's smart for figuring that out. It looked great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just brought it to a whole new level. Like, it was nice to have just the TVs even compared to tablets and laptops.
Right.
But having a huge screen that everybody lining up for the 99 is...
It was projected.
Is exactly.
Mm-hmm. There are speakers too, right?
Yeah, there are speakers. Yeah. Basically, the same idea, I think it's been going on since the days when Earthling Experience was the big thing.
I think everyone would look at that. Yeah, can't avoid it.
Yeah, it's
everyone would want to know, what is this huge screen?
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah. That was the idea. And seeing people out there and the questions they have and how positive the reaction was.
Right. Because in this whole experience, there's many activists who are standing around and they're engaging in conversations.
Exactly.
I saw the videos. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's tons of good conversations. A lot of people who never really thought about where their food comes from,
right?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who maybe, I think they admitted they kind of knew this was happening, but it doesn't hit them until they really see it, and they wouldn't go out seeking this imagery on their own.
But they're
waiting for the bus now, and they're going to look at it because they actually are curious to some degree. I hope that there's a lot of people that made some resolutions.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good idea.
29th, 30th, 31st. Yeah.
That's good.
Veganuary. Yeah. Veganuary is happening right now. Yeah.
Excellent. So do you get, do people come up and talk to you much? It sounds like you were having conversations with people at those events, right?
Yeah, I don't like talking to people in general, but...
you're talking right now to us. You know how many people you're talking to now?
I'm just pretending that it's just me in the microphone.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm okay with talking to people. I enjoy the discussion in some way. I think maybe it's just like I don't like walking up to someone and with a leaflet or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I even just standing there, if I was watching over the projector or taking pictures of something or whatever, there'd be people who would sometimes just walk right up to you. And it was kind of funny because Anonymous for the Voiceless takes counts of how many good conversations each outreacher has had.
Nice.
And there's one time where I spent most of it either standing there holding a sign with a mask over my face where you don't talk,
Check out your local Cube of Truth
or
events.
Just standing near the projector making sure that no inebriated person just accidentally walks into it. But still, people would walk up to you and be people who almost... pretty much walk up to you and say, "I'm going vegan now, okay, just letting you know, thank you for this." And it's kind of funny, how many people did you talk to? Like, none. They came talk to me to tell me they're going vegan. So does that count as a good conversation? I don't know, I guess.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So we did a show a while back here on Animal Voices about the Vegan Chalk Challenge, which included an interview with the founder, James D'Alto. And I hear that you've been doing some chalktivism around Vancouver lately. So how's that going?
Well, it goes really well. There's over the past year, I think, I've gone out with groups a few times, just chalking different bits of public property. Generally, sidewalks are the easiest. Few times I went out with Jeffrey Year again to do some more challenging chalking, usually at SkyTrain stations and places where he might need someone to hold a ladder or whatever. But you've seen Jeff's work everywhere, all over overpasses and even on, along the seawall, kind of, what's it, Sunset Beach, I think he did. And other people still, it's really catching on. His catchphrase is, the film Earthlings changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that that phrase chalked all over the place, sometimes by him, sometimes by other people.
Right.
And we hope that it's reaching people, getting them curious about what this film is. And in fact, he knows for a fact that people have come back at different events saying, you know, we support what you're doing here. You know, my whole family went vegan because we saw this chalking, and he's like, oh, that was me.
Wow.
So it's worth it.
And if our listeners are curious, once again, it's on YouTube and Vimeo for free.
Oh, the Earthlings.
So you can look it up.
Yeah.
It's a feature film, honestly, in a way,
for most people, I think you should be able to watch the trailer, even half the trailer. And really, in a lot of ways, that should be enough.
Yeah.
You can learn details in other ways without having to traumatize yourself too much. But at the same time, I do watch it from time to time because I need to remind myself what's really happening. It's not necessarily right, but for someone like me, I can know a lot of things, but I won't really know them until, you know, it's hitting me in the face.
It's kind of so visceral, that imagery. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's good. I know, I feel like it is, obviously, it's very difficult to watch, but I think we do owe it to the animals to bear witness
to
see what they're going
to do. If you can pay for them to go through that, then, you know, you can definitely watch it once.
Exactly. You should know what you're supporting.
It seems like sometimes people, in response to vegan activists, will say, like, oh, you know, stop pushing your agenda on me, but a film like Earthlings really puts a face, you know, we aren't just talking about some agenda that helps us personally. We are speaking out for justice for these individual animals. Mm-hmm. And so watching something like that really brings that home.
Absolutely. So, Roy, what else are you up to lately with regards to animal rights activism?
Well, kind of the biggest thing for me is that in December, I was appointed to the board of directors for Liberation BC.
Nice.
We're trying to kind of get that going more on the ground right now, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on to run an organization, and so the three of us, Mick McCannon, Megan Beattie, and I, we're learning the things, getting our names signed onto certain things, bank accounts, and all the online things, all the social media stuff. It's gonna be a little bit more than maybe we thought when I agreed to do it. But that should be really exciting because we're going to be able to do something we've wanted to do is recruit people to do, you know, different things that have been kind of falling by the wayside, anti-fur stuff, which is used to be weekly, and we'd love it if we could, you know, buy some signs and get people doing that.
Right.
We want to actually find out what local activists want to do and what budding activists want to do, and what can Liberation BC do to support that with our media presence, with our mailing lists, and with the funding that that we can give. And So it's going to be a really exciting year. I think we're building up to another animal advocacy camp. Pardon me.
Ah, yay!
More than like, actually, yeah, we're hoping to do a small one in Victoria this year. It takes a lot of work to do that full weekend, I guess. Not a big surprise. So I think that might be waiting till 2019 for a big Vancouver all weekend type thing or several day event type thing.
I'll help with it again.
Yeah, that's great.
And Darren will be back, I think.
Darren, we'll see about Darren. He seems pretty attached to the East Coast now.
Oh, right. He told me he's coming back.
He's supposed to be back now.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah, Liberation BC is an awesome organization. So that's how
Liberation BC has been around for many years. Mm-hmm. That's how I sort of started to get involved in animal activism.
Me too.
I'm thinking 20 years ago, Ashley Fruno started it. Like, it was a long time ago. She's not even that old, but I mean, I was young.
Yeah.
I was young, and yeah, we used to do lots of activism.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Very cool. So, Roy, do you have any tips for new vegans looking to get involved in activism? Like, what works and what doesn't?
I think the big thing, in a way, is to meet the community.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I found is that having Vancouver Chicken Save there weekly and joining them, and, you know, sometimes you'd just be there, you do the thing, you'd look, watch the chickens, take some footage, and that'd be it. But a lot of times, you know, people would be, hey, let's talk afterwards. You'd have lunch. We're going to Eternal Abundance all the time now because they started to support us. Said, hey, we can have a discount if you come in after the vigil.
Oh, wow.
So we've been going there a lot. And you get to, you know, that's where you get to actually meet everybody in a way.
That's a great vegan restaurant
yes.
for anyone who doesn't know.
That's
really
so nice. They give
place.
You a discount.
You go there. If you keep going, the thing is that sometimes I think for me, some weeks were just I really didn't want to be there that much. It's miserable to see sometimes what you see in the back. Out front, it's obviously more positive. You just get cars honking at you, and you're more or less smiling. So that, you know, that's maybe the easiest thing to do if you're not sure about activism. Just go out there. Hold a sign. It's Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. to 11. You can show up or leave anytime you want within those 2 hours. And, you know, you can spend a little bit of time making a small difference, building a community. And you mentioned that getting a larger group of people just visually is very important for the public to see as well as activists to see because it makes you feel empowered. It's kind of silly because, you know, the fact of the matter is that there are a lot of vegans who believe in this, and that should be all that matters. But when you're actually standing there in a group of them, it changes your perception, changes your energy, and
right.
it kind of charges you up to maybe do a little bit more in your day-to-day life, or even just to start joining more street activism. So mm-hmm. start showing up. That's a big thing. Use your, you know, everybody has their own voice, their own style, and that's good. And I think that you shouldn't be afraid of that. Just, you know, do what you think you're best at. If it's just being present, that's fine.
Right.
If you want to be someone doing speakouts, that's fine. If you like activism with more chanting and stuff, that's available too. I mean, you can go to DXC Vancouver now, doing those events where they're a little bit louder. But there's always going to be something to be involved in. Just pick what you're comfortable with and do what you're comfortable with there. And start meeting the people. You don't have to worry about people saying, oh, we don't like your style so much, because everybody has a different style. Just, you know, follow people's leads, do what you have to do. And,
absolutely.
And you'll find your community, I think, is the big thing.
That's great. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. But Roy Sassano, thank you so much for joining us.
Come back, Roy.
Yeah, it's been great to have you.
You look great in your purple shirt, by the way. I took a picture. It's on our Facebook page.
Oh, good, yeah.
Well, you look great, too.
So you have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. And I want to wish a happy birthday to one of our listeners, Sean, who is celebrating a very special birthday this weekend. Happy birthday, Sean. Please join us on our next show on Friday, January the 12th, 2018. We will be interviewing, speaking of Direct Action Everywhere, we have one of the organizers from there, Jason Oliver, who will be on our show speaking about their activism and the Animal Liberation Conference that's coming up in May. And Jason is known for composing and playing all of their guitar, like original compositions that they do at protests. So we're going to be playing some of those as well. It'll be really cool. So remember, next week, Cafe by Tao, January 12th. You can go on our Facebook page to find out more info about that. Animal Voices Vancouver. Go to animalvoices.org to listen to our past shows. And you can also send us your suggestions and comments about the shows either on Facebook or email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. To end today's show, we have the song called Helping Hand by Foghat. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today. And remember to be kind to the animals.